express. But today, we're not doing that. Today is kind of one of those freebie days in between series that we kind of figure out, what are we going to talk about? And so I was thinking, I love the story of Jonah. And I thought, I've never actually preached on Jonah before, so here I am today giving my very first sermon on Jonah to you all. Yeah. So Jonah is an interesting story because sometimes we get caught up in this idea of, is it a true story or not? Some people are like, no way is it a true story. Nobody's going to survive in a whale's stomach for 3 days. And some people are like, of course it's a true story because the Bible says it is and the Bible is true. And so when we get into that argument, we start to miss kind of the whole message of Jonah. And we're just focusing on that. And the story of Jonah, what we most oftentimes attribute to the message of the story is that you have to be obedient to God. That Jonah kept trying to run away from God, and then God kept throwing him back in, and you have to be obedient, otherwise God will find you out, and he will make a whale swallow you, right? Most of the time, gets boiled down to that. But there's something deeper going on, and I think it's this message of the story is deeper, and we get a glimpse at it at the end of the story, the passage that was read a little bit ago. Because at the end of it, it ends with a question. And it ends with this prophet of God being angry at God for what he has done. So that doesn't really fit necessarily into the whole obedience thing, right? So what's going on in the story? What's going on with this ending? It's absurd. I think some of it's satire. This story goes where you don't think it's going to go. The story goes where the original audience didn't think it was going to go. There's something greater going on. The original audience is Jonah's people, the Israelites, the Hebrews. And so this is the original audience that this story was given to. And since Jonah is a prophet, let's talk about what is a prophet. A lot of times when we think of prophets, we think of maybe a magician in some ways, somebody who predicts the future. But a prophet in many ways is not magical. A prophet doesn't have these insights into the future that no one else has. A prophet is someone who proclaims, what are the consequences of sin? How are the ways that your sin is punishing you? And what's going to happen if you keep going down that route? These prophets speak truth to powers. These prophets speak to the powers of the day, saying, if you keep doing this, if you keep hurting your people, starving your people, this will happen. So prophets are people who tell the truth, who see the things that are coming based on what is happening now. They predict the consequences of sin, but do not predict the future. So what was the message that God gave Jonah? Jonah's the prophet. What does God give the message to Jonah to go give to Nineveh? So Nineveh, back in the day, the Israelites would understand this. Right now, we're like, Nineveh, whatever. We don't know much about that town. We don't know much about those people. But back then, they were in Assyria, which, if we go back to 2 Kings, Assyria invaded the Israel people, the Hebrew people. They invaded, they deported them, they laid siege to their lands, their cities. So Assyria was not a good guy to the Israelites. And so to the original audience, this is going to be the time where you boo and hiss, right? I wasn't expecting you guys to do it, but good job, that was nice. So when God tells Jonah, I need you to go to Nineveh, which is in Assyria, Jonah's like, of course he would say no way. You would say no way. There's many different examples we could give of how this would work out today. We could talk about geopolitical things. We could talk about things in our own lives. But I have this one illustration, and just hold with me for a second, this illustration that helps us figure this out a little bit of how it would feel. We don't want to feel like other people that God is on other people's side. So in Colorado, we have this saying, as I've come to know, that the sunset is beautiful because it's orange and blue, so that must mean that God is a Broncos fan. Right? All right, now stay with me. What if the God who loves the Broncos is also a God who loves to make the night black and silver like the Raiders? Yeah, now you're getting it, the boo and hiss, yeah. We'll take it a step further. What if the God that made the heartland... What if the God that made the heartland green and gold loves the Packers also? Yeah, yeah. Yeah, and sports help us in that way to kind of figure out this feeling of this boo and hiss, this we don't like them, they've done terrible things to us. But in our own lives, we could think of ways that maybe in our own families, whether it's your parents or brother and sister that withhold love, approval, that those people that hurt our children, those people that say no to our children, people in our lives that we consider kind of arch nemesis. How many of you have had that in your life? Sometimes you have to think back to high school or middle school, but it's that person that always seems to get everything that you wish you had. This can work out in many places in our lives, and this is what's happening with Jonah. It's these people that he perceives to be the people that are on the outside. God should not love them. They've done terrible things, and I'm not going to forgive them for it. Therefore, God should not forgive them for it. So Jonah didn't want to go. And not even to mention, Jonah probably doesn't even think they're going to repent. He's going to go tell them about God, and then that's that. It was a waste of time because they didn't repent. What else would you expect from your enemies? So then as the story goes on, Jonah ends up giving the message to Nineveh. But not even in a good way. It was just a lackluster way. He just goes and says, hey, this is what God says. All right. See you later. And what happens? Nineveh repents. Not even just the people, but the animals. All parts of the city repent and go back to God. The story does not go the way Jonah expects it, nor the audience. And then, as we read in our scripture today, what happens is Jonah goes up to the top of a hill to see all of Nineveh. He's waiting for the fireworks to start. He wants to see this city destroyed. These people who have caused his own people so much pain, he's waiting for that good feeling to see it all end for them, to go badly for once for them. And he sits there waiting quite a long time. God creates a plant to give him shade. After a while, sends a worm to get rid of the shade. Then there's scorching winds. There's all these signs that God is like, go home. You don't need to be here anymore. You've done your job. So he gets angry. And God asks, why are you angry enough to die? You did nothing to nurture the plant. He was angry about the plant going away. And God says, you didn't do anything to nurture that. So should I not have concern for the people of Nineveh, the creation of Nineveh, these people, everything I have created, I've nurtured, I put so much into, should I not have concern for them also? This shows us that God is not simply a passive God who creates and lets us go do our own things, but God is nurturing us and bringing us to a different reality, a different awareness. So should God not have concern even for those who are doing wrong, that God continues to try and nurture their hearts into the image of Christ? a patient God that wants us to discover a life that God has created for us. And then it ends. Jonah ends that way. I remember talking to, I talked to somebody in the last couple weeks about this story, and they said, when I finally read through that whole story, at the end I was like, what? I want a little closure. Because as humans, we love closure. We want the good guy to win, the bad guy to lose. End of story, you can go home happy. But Jonah challenges the way we think about just and unjust, right and wrong, who's in and who's out, black and white. Jonah is kind of turning that stuff upside down. So what is exactly going on? Jonah was successful by all means as a prophet. They repented. You can't say the same for a lot of the other prophets in the Old Testament. But this whole city was saved because Jonah brought the message of God. So Jonah was successful, but yet he is still angry. Why is he angry? Because he believes, as a member of the Hebrews, of the Israelites, God is on their side. And now God is challenging their idea that God is just on their side, but God may also be on the Assyrian side. That maybe God isn't so black and white as they thought. God actually loves those enemies of ours. And that's scary. It messes with our normal ideas of right and wrong. So then, what's going on with Jonah is that he is fearing the loss of control. Or maybe he's fearing the fact that it seems like there isn't a fight anymore. Sometimes we just need things to fight for. Throughout this story, Jonah is trying to manage the situation, trying to control the situation. When God tells him to go to Nineveh, he leaves and goes on a boat in the water. And then when God throws him off the boat into the water, a whale gets him, and he sits in there for 3 days before he actually prays to God and says, "All right, I will go." He is doing everything he can to manage the situation. When he gets to Nineveh, he just kind of shouts out what God told him to. He doesn't preach it. He just says, "This is what God says, whatever. See you later." He's trying to manage it in a way that God doesn't actually save Nineveh. He's fearful he doesn't understand God anymore. That God, the God he knew, is now different. Because this has major ramifications for Israel. Because now, instead of Nineveh being their enemy, they are their neighbors. That if God loves them, they need to love them too, because they are that group of people that's supposed to reflect the love of God to the world, to be that channel of love to the world. And now they have to do it to their enemies. Fighting to keep control. What in your life are you fearing of losing control of? There's many things that we love control, whether you're type A or type B personality. Some of us love control more than others, right? But we all have places in our own lives where we want control, where we want things to go the way we expect, to go our way, not our enemy's way. Not the people who have hurt us, not the people who withhold stuff from us. Because fear is also a powerful motivator, right? Fear of losing control. Fear keeps us from doing a lot of things. Fear has moved entire civilizations to try and wipe out other groups. Fear has kept us from reconciling and forgiving those people in our lives who have wronged us. Fear keeps us in that mode of, good, I want bad things to happen to them, because it feels good. But what if through this story, God is telling us a deep truth that we just are fearful of knowing. That God is bigger than we are. That God's plans are different than our own. That God may actually love those who we consider our enemies. And that's a scary thing, and that creates fear in our hearts because we don't want that to be true because they have wronged us, they have hurt us. In some ways, I believe it was one of the prayers. This morning, the welcome and the prayer that Rocky gave, I thought, I don't even have to preach today. So said everything that I want to say in this. And that's because sometimes when we lose fear, then there's this big gap and we don't know what to do with it. I think that's what Jonah is experiencing. That now these enemies are no longer enemies, but they're loved by God. And now he has to do something about it in himself. He can no longer hate them because God does not hate them. That anger and fear is now going away. And the only way to keep that is to just hang on to it tight, grasp it with an iron fist. And that's what Jonah is doing. He does not want to let it go, even as much as God is trying to tell him to let it go. And because of this, Jonah causes suffering for himself. Richard Rohr has this wonderful quote that he defines suffering in a very simple fashion. Whenever you are not in control. Suffering is the most effective way whereby humans learn to trust, allow, and give up control to another source. When we're suffering, we usually express it through anger, fear. And when we experience that, we're experiencing a loss of control. And why we want to hold on to control is because we don't want to know that God is bigger than everything that we want. Sometimes people have said that if God hates all the people you hate, then it's probably the wrong God you're believing in. Because God has different plans in mind. God is big enough to love those whom you have disdain for, prejudice against. And the story of Jonah gives us a view into this greatness of God, this God who is huge, this God who has created all creation and nurtures it, no matter if they're your enemy or not. Because God is uncontrollable. God is bigger than you imagined. And God says it to Jonah in this way, "Should I not be concerned? They are also my creation." Whatever you're holding on to this week, that anger, the fear of forgiving, of reconciliation, remember that's you. That's your fear of losing control. And trust in a God who is uncontrollable. Amen. May you, friends, go out this week. May you find ways that you can forgive those who have wronged you. May you find ways to figure out those who you perceive to be out are actually in. That you may show the love of God to the rest of the world, to forgive those just as Christ has forgiven you. And may you abide in the God of hope, love your neighbor as yourself, and love God with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength. And all God's people said,
Amen.
Go in peace.